This is CliffCentral.com.
All right, so there's Alicia Keys being very profound with We Are Here.
That's where you are. That's just, you're there.
Yeah, that's right. That she's just basically saying, this is geographically where I'm situated.
It's like that. Was it Austin Powers, that classic line? Like, oh, there you are. Oh, yes. I know you. No, but that's where you are. You're there.
All right, good morning. It is Wednesday. It is the 17th of April, short week, because tomorrow is really like a mini Friday. A lot of people taking off for the weekend. So Gord walked in at like half past six this morning. And I think you owe all of our listeners an apology.
I made the fatal error of telling my story in the break, and I've been told now that it's one that has to be shared. Yeah. So,
well, every story comes out in the studio.
I've been training boxing a lot lately, and
I've seen some of your videos actually.
Increased the intensity.
I'm impressed. I've just got to say that it looks like you really. I mean, I couldn't do some of that stuff. It's very physically exerting.
I took my brother, who's older than I am, and he's always been very sporty. He actually played for Sundowns under 19s when he was younger, and he's never been fat or anything like that. He just kind of like got middle aged and stopped exercising. So he came along to try it out, and he couldn't get through half of it. So it's pretty cool. Anyway, I'm training and dieting and losing weight, and it's going well. But like I do feel a bit sore and whatever. So this morning my tummy was giving me a bit of a hard time, and I'd, for the first time, decided I had to hit the throne, and I was like, fuck, this is going to make me late. And while I was doing that...
So what were you... You called it a...
A thunder poo.
A thunder poo. Your third one of the morning.
At least this is a private conversation that I waited to have off air to explain to my friends, hey, sorry I was late. This is what happened this time. And so while having, I think, my second or third thunder poo of the morning, thinking to myself, shit, this isn't good. This is going to affect the day. My right calf went into what is certainly the most sustained spasm I've ever had. Like, it went zzz, and I was like in that agony you have when you have a spasm, sitting on the toilet, and like I was just trying to make it stop by, like, you try and move your foot so that the angle stops the spasm.
What an awkward, I'm trying to imagine this. Hang on. You're sitting on the can.
Yeah, third poo. Second or third.
And is your leg tucked sort of to the side?
No, it was like sitting in, it was beneath, like in a standard sitting on a chair position, but now it goes into spasm.
Left or right calf?
Right calf.
Okay, and it's now spasming.
Yes, it's and now your leg is like, you're trying to stick it out in front of you at like an angle.
You're naked.
I've got boxer shorts around my ankles. but now my leg, I'm trying to like stick it out in front of me, but it's like twitching and spasming, and it's so sore. And now I've got a house guest that's temporarily staying with me in my guest room. She's asleep, and I'm like, and then next thing, she comes and knocks on the door. She's like, Gord, are you okay? And I'm like, I'm okay, fuck. And then, but I don't want her to come in and check if I'm okay, because I'm on the Thunderbox. And my ensuite bathroom in my bedroom has got like a sliding door, and it's not all the way closed. And I don't want it to like rush in and help me see me mid poo in a spasm, crying out in agony and thinking, geez, Gord, you got to get that scene to me. That's no way to go to the toilet in the morning.
As Ben says, now she thinks this is how.
This is how I poo with my leg out in agony. Making squealing noises.
She's going to go to work today and go, oh, you wouldn't guess. Like, you know my friend Gord? Well, he is dealing with trauma in his life. Every time he goes to the toilet, I mean, the guy's in absolute agony.
So I almost...
Like his colon's falling out of his arsehole.
My calf muscle tried to tear itself off my body while I was having a thunder poo.
But I think you should sit down this house guest and say, look, what you heard earlier, it's not normal.
Yeah.
You know, I'm actually...
Yeah, how are you
but do you make it worse by explaining?
How are you going to have this conversation?
I'll just tell her what I just told you guys and feel less embarrassed, because there aren't millions of people listening.
But you do realize, unless you have this conversation, she'll think you have piles.
She'll think this is normal.
There's no shame
for you
in having piles, guys. We've talked about piles on the show before, and they're a perfectly normal part of anus
like,
life.
You know what, Gord? There's so many wonderful characteristics about you, but she will think piles when you message her. Or she's like, oh, who's calling me? Oh, shit, it's Gord. He's got piles.
Yeah, I'll be changed to, like, I'll be some people's phone is like, late coming Gord, pile squealing Gord.
Because right now, everyone also thinks you have piles, which isn't the case.
No, I have spasms and thunderbum at the same time.
Yes. Gord, what's your definition of a thunderpoo?
Thunderbum is when your tummy is not giving you a really good luck vibe.
And for you, you have three of these?
Well, no. That's why I'm saying the morning was unusual, in the sense that I've woken up with a bit of thunderbum. And I also, when I arrive, because you guys can't see what happens before you enter the main area, I also had to hit the GC bogs and have the
Lord have mercy.
So it's been a rough morning.
To avoid that today.
Well, that's unfortunate, seeing as no one cleans that.
So while we're talking about bogs, Gavin is a plumber, and he says, I was working in the ladies' toilets in a student pub when a girl screamed, ah, there's a man. Then other girls all jumped in on her, saying, how dare you assume their gender? They might be binary. I don't know what that is. Gender politics is crazy, says Gavin. So I assume, okay, what happened is there's probably some woke university around South Africa, and he's trying to fix the bugs in the women's bathroom. Yeah. Some of the girls go, oh my God, there's a man. Some of the other girls go, don't assume his gender.
You don't know that that's a man.
Right.
Maybe he doesn't feel manish.
That is pretty hilarious.
It's weird because I've got young nieces who range between the ages of 8 and 13. There's four of them. And they were having I like the fact that stuff like this is discussed openly, but then there's also the vibe of like, wow, like this is a thing that kids of that age totally like. They were discussing the LGBTQ++ and all the varieties of different sexualities you get.
Sure.
And like all of this stuff, they know it inside out. Mm-hmm. And I'm glad that there's no shame or stigma for kids having to discuss that in dark corners.
Of course.
But at the same time, like, wow, you know, an 11-year-old can tell you what a pansexual is and what being mm-hmm. gender binary and gender fluid. And then we made a song about Donovan, the transsexual pilot, which was a fun time.
This is what you did with
yes.
Me? Oh, okay.
This is normal.
Donovan was a tranny, swapped his willy for a pink dress. Donovan was a pilot, doesn't matter what their sexuality is. And that's the song, and we all sang it.
And
what is Donovan is a gender neutral.
Donovan.
Yeah, Donovan. It's like Jonathan. Or Christina. Or Christinafer. These are gender-neutral names for the new generation. Because you don't know what your kid's going to decide to be when it's born.
Identifying.
So, yeah, exactly. Yes. When it's
sing the song again.
Donovan was a tranny, swapped his willy for a pink dress. Donovan was a pilot, makes no difference what their gender was.
I think that may be the best song I've ever heard.
It's to teach kids that you can be what you want. And
you made that up.
Yeah, well, with my nieces. We sang it. I swear this on all things holy. I think tranny's not the right term for transsexual person.
Jesus.
But
all right, okay.
The spirit of it was good.
You have lyrical license.
Right, I need your thoughts on something. First of all, Trevor Noah went on Ellen DeGeneres' show and played Would You Rather, which is one of my favorite games to play. Always some very funny things that you can end up asking people on Would You Rather. You ever played that game?
There's a really good one I can offer, but after your story.
All right, so let's first hear what happened on Ellen DeGeneres' show. Here's Trevor Noah on Ellen. All right, take it away, Trevor.
All right, we're back with Trevor Noah. And so congratulations, you were named. People Magazine has a list of different kinds of sexy. And
yes.
You were sexiest 34.
Yes.
So,
yes.
Yeah.
It's a very specific sexy. A very, very specific sexy, but I take it. It's very specific at an age.
Uh-huh.
I want to look like I was president for 2 terms.
Yeah.
That's what I want, that kind of aging.
I see. It's just gray hair, that's all it is. He looks good since he hasn't been president.
He's unaged.
He's unaged.
Yeah.
Yeah, after he stopped being president, it's amazing that you just, like, the life comes back to you.
It truly, truly is. No, I said this when I met President Obama. Obviously, I interviewed him when he was in office. And, like, right at the end. And then I saw him a few months later, and I was like, where were you hiding this?
Yeah.
You know, and he's just got this thing. He's like, well, you know, Trevor, when you're not fighting Fox News every day, you know what comes back? You know? Comes back. And he just had this thing,
that's
and his hair gotten darker, and, you know?
Yeah. No, he's a happy guy now. And Michelle's happy, too. I think they're both happy.
Yeah, they're living a great life.
You're single, right?
Yes, I am.
You're single.
I'm sorry about all that commentary about how they're best friends with the Obamas, and Ellen and Trevor are living in cloud cuckoo land where they still think they're the president and the first lady. But here's the part that I was trying to get to. I've told you a million times, but I'm going to say it again. I fucking hate these audiences that go to these stupid shows. I hate them with every fiber in my being.
Yeah.
That's why I hated doing television.
Don't they get paid anyway?
No, they don't get paid. They do it for... Please, people line up.
Yeah. Well, I know Oprah. It was like a months and months or years waiting list to be an audience member, but that's Oprah.
Studio audience. Let's just hear
Would you rather?
So we're going to play a game. It's called Who'd You Rather. We're going to show you some people, and we're going to end up with the person that's best for you.
Okay.
And you have to be honest here.
I will be completely
honest. Give us your
honest.
Thoughts. Okay, let's see the first two.
Rihanna and Taylor Swift.
Yep. Well, Rihanna, are you kidding me? We have the exact same birthday.
And what is that?
February 20th.
February 20th.
Yeah, so then I would never forget her birthday.
All right, so Rihanna or Taylor Swift?
And we're talking about, would you rather have sexual intercourse with them in a no-strings-attached kind of way?
Who would you rather? Who would you? Can you can finish that in your
imagination.
Listen
to them sing, the chainsaw that's going through my brain, Bonage, like probably Rihanna.
I don't think Taylor Swift's ever the answer.
I'm inclined to agree with Ben.
Taylor Swift's never the answer.
She's never the answer.
She's like drugs.
I'm in agreement. It's got nothing to do with what Trevor says. They've got the same birthday, but I agree with Ben. Trevor should have answered that with much more alacrity. The answer is Taylor is never.
What did he say?
He said Rihanna.
Oh, yeah, because they have the same birthday. Right. Okay, gotcha. Yeah.
Relationship.
Yeah. Does that mean you're Aquarius or you're...
Pisces.
Pisces, okay. Yeah. Rihanna, Tiffany.
Rihanna, Tiffany Haddish.
Okay, do you know who Tiffany Haddish is?
She was in the movie Girls Trip, and she's doing a bunch of different comedic things now.
Nobody really knows her. Let's just skip through that one.
I'll switch to Tiffany Haddish now.
Really?
I did try.
Yeah, you know why? Because like Rihanna, after a while I get bored of the fact that everyone's like, it's Rihanna, it's Rihanna. Who's that?
Yeah.
Like, you know, I want the relationship to be like more equal.
That's right.
Like Rihanna, I would be a fan of hers as well in the relationship, which is not a healthy relationship.
No, it has to be balanced.
She's going
to
wake up every morning and be like, oh my God, it's Rihanna. She's like, we've been dating for 3 years. Yeah, but still.
Yeah.
So yeah, Tiffany Haddish. She's fun, she's funny, she's beautiful. I go with her.
Now we've got a Kardashian for you.
Now it's Tiffany Haddish and Khloe Kardashian. I don't care who Tiffany Haddish is, I'm choosing her.
My God. a Kardashian.
That's Kardashian.
Please, no.
You don't even know who Tiffany is, and you'd rather...
Yes. Tiffany may be a mass murderer.
I'll take Tiffany Haddish's 90-year-old grand.
Yeah.
Before a Kardashian. Okay. Right.
I'll take Taylor Swift over a Kardashian.
Wow.
Okay, can I, like, dirty secret? I would have always loved to date a Kardashian just, like, for, like, a week.
That's how long they last. that's actually the average.
Just to be, like, in that world. I want to be on the show. I want to be, like, in the game.
Well?
I want to be a Kardashian just for a little bit.
You know what?
So I'll switch to Khloe. I'll go Khloe Kardashian.
Okay, good. I'm friendly with them. If you would like to be on the show or would like to hang out with them.
Oh, God, I hate when celebrities tell you how many friends they have that are celebrities. All right, so now the next choice is Jennifer Aniston or Khloe Kardashian. Again, this one goes without
saying. I fall in love with Jennifer Aniston every time I see her. And since Horrible Bosses, it's not just love. It's other feelings as well.
Can you hook me up with a Kardashian?
If you'd like that.
Wow.
I bet they would be thrilled. I mean, look
you
at
just,
you.
You're just doing this right now?
Okay, shut up.
This is an actual thing?
They're lined up backstage, all of them.
Oh.
Hey, Khloe Kardashian, and the other Jennifer ones just Aniston. Leave. I'm going to stick with Khloe Kardashian. Jennifer Aniston.
Okay.
I'm going to stick with Khloe.
Okay.
I'm still into the action. I'm
good.
In the action.
All right. I'm going to work this out for you.
Right.
All right.
Okay, Nicki Minaj or Khloe Kardashian?
Well, we can move on from Khloe Kardashian.
Yeah, because Minaj, because the bonage would be off the chain.
Bonage.
Off the chain. Minaj will hold you down.
I reckon
down.
She's a prude.
No way, dude.
I reckon she's boring.
She's
boring as hell.
No way.
No,
rough. She will, of course, she'll put an elbow in you.
She gets home from creating this facade and she's like, screw that.
An elbow in you.
No.
You really think
Lord.
So?
I reckon she's boring.
Oh.
All right, and then they do one more. So eventually,
but who did she choose out of Jennifer? Where was Jennifer Aniston?
So he didn't choose Jennifer Aniston. He chose Khloe again, and then he chose Nicki Minaj over Khloe. So that was his ultimate choice. But the rest of it is kind of boring. So I'm going to leave you.
Wow,
some porn star somewhere is missing a trick, not calling herself Ellen Degenerate.
Yeah, that would be funny, especially if she was in lesbian scenes only.
Mm. Folks, can I give you a little roundup of some, you know, criminal news?
Yes.
Crime is a real thing in the world. And here are three burning stories that we have to focus on because of how important they are.
What is my cough? What is my bum hole? What's the third burning story?
first story, roundup of crime. This should be a thing. Of course, the first story comes from Florida. Mm-hmm. And I'm just going to read it as is. No elaborating here. A man used a squirt gun to shoot neighbor with his urine.
I've been meaning to actually do that for years with the dudes that clean your windscreen when you tell them not to. I appreciate that people are trying to make a living, but when I say don't do that and they start cleaning it anyway, I want a super soaker full of urine and just take them out
How
with it.
How grumpy can you get? This is so random, but Joel William Benjamin is 71 years old and is currently facing a misdemeanor battery charge after this past weekend on Saturday he was arrested for filling up a whole squirt gun with his own urine and blasting his neighbor several times as she was minding her own business walking her dog.
Now she must have been doing something.
There's a history there.
Dog must have been shitting on his
dog is
on his paving.
Over his steps. Yeah.
Yeah, no, that was not for nothing. The
Maybe
neighbor was probably terrible.
The woman is currently unidentified. She was walking her dog and supposedly Joel approached the victim, pulled out a water gun that contained his own urine. When the police were finally called onto the scene and Joel was apprehended, he supposedly went into the car screaming he would do it again if he ever got the chance.
Because she's probably a nightmare. I mean, what? How far do you have to be driven that in the face of police, you're still like, fuck it, I'll squirt her, mm-hmm.
do it again.
I'll do it again. It was worth it. And also, how did she know? I mean, maybe he said, taste my urine. But how did she know it was urine? I'm getting squirted with...
Then you'd have to.
Oh, that's urine-y.
So you reckon she must be a horrendous neighbor.
What would you have to do to your neighbor?
With your urine.
Unless you're a person that runs around. And so he goes... I would do it again. Fuck her. She deserves it. Let me at her. I want to urinate her some more. Like, that's specific. That's not general misanthropy. That's specific hatred of an individual. Yeah. She probably paid Taylor Swift and Rihanna. Taylor Swift and Rihanna on repeat all the time, loudly at night, while tapping something on the wall. Like, I got an upstairs neighbor that shouts phone calls to some bestie of hers at like about 6:30 every morning. She has the loudest conversation a human being can have without officially being classified as yodeling. And she has it for an hour and a half every morning. I'm like, who are you? Who's your friend? Why don't they work? And who are all these men that you're dating all the time? I literally have one of those shock spin hi-fi things. I put it on my patio and play Slipknot as loudly as it will go. But I stopped doing that because there's other neighbors in all directions that have done nothing. I just go on the patio and I'm like, oh, really? Another one that didn't want to date you. Another dickhead. Maybe it's you. And she's talking too loudly on the phone to even hear me. Like, it feels like she's in my bedroom.
I can picture a miniseries.
It feels like she's in my bedroom. She lives directly above me. Her patio is above my bedroom window.
And it's behavior like that would warrant you.
I would squirt
urine on her.
But I mean, it would be after a series of warnings.
Yes.
Like she goes outside. And on speakerphone, so you know people who hold their phone a foot away from their face and have a conversation with it in public. Most of them also speak into the speaker and not the microphone. They try to talk to where the sound's coming from. Those fucking idiots. She's one of those. Outside, even if it's cold, on the box. So yeah, urine guns for bad neighbors. I'm for this.
Right.
I hope that they have one of those cool judges who listens to the story and goes, ma'am, you deserved all the urine you got. And I'm giving you a $10,000 fine, and I'm paying this man damages for the time away from his job he spent on trial for urinating you. He's done the nation a service by urinating you, and I hope more people urinate you in the future.
And you're 71 years old. You must really be ticked off to do something like this.
Oh, is he 71? 71. So he's just a grumpy old bastard.
We don't know.
The courts must surely give him leniency on the grounds of being a grumpy old bastard.
Michelle says the old man has a pee-pee gun. That's hilarious. And then Anushka says, I have mad respect for that guy with the urine pistol. Epic. I want to do that to some of my colleagues.
Yeah. It will solve a lot of the world issues. Second of three absolutely important crime stories we need to pay attention to.
Crime Watch with Sia.
A New Orleans woman has been arrested last Wednesday because when her ex told her that we need to break up, she pulled on his prosthetic leg and beat him up with it.
Beat him with his leg.
Oh. Now you see, if the Oscar story had gone like that, we wouldn't have so much tragedy.
sliced him up with his blades.
She's 58 years old.
Imagine if she just pulled them off and just hit him until he stopped being an ass.
I'm sorry, that's. I mean, that's all he is without his blades.
He's basically an ass with an upper body.
These jokes are too easy.
Michelle Jackson is 58 years old and she was drinking with her now official ex-boyfriend when he told her that he wanted to see someone else. And Michelle was like, not on my watch.
I was going to say, that's too easy. Yeah. Never meant to take your leg apart. I will not stop now. The beating start.
Michelle left before authorities could arrive. But she was finally being apprehended, and she will now face some time in prison on aggravated battery charge without bond. So she won't be getting any sort of bail. And then final...
I gotta ask this question quickly. Why would... If your boyfriend breaks up with you, it's horrible, but he's doing the right thing. He's saying to you, listen, I'm going to see someone else.
Yeah. Rather get it now.
The indignity of beating someone up with their own leg.
Imagine being so cross that you pull off his prosthetic leg and beat him with it. Just say, okay, I'll find a boyfriend with two legs.
No, bail is like a bit of a hectic one, though. I mean, it's not like she could leg it if she wanted. Oh, wait, it's him that has the...
Yeah.
Okay.
But it's a very personal crime here. It really is. Like, I hate you so much, I'm going to hit you with you.
Yeah, I'm going to remove your leg and beat you with it.
You couldn't.
You beat them with the smelly end, because apparently the prosthetics have got a smelly end.
It's like a plastic.
I've been told.
Well, you'd grab the foot for general grip purposes, though.
Yeah, and so you would be hitting him with the open, with the joiny part.
I'm being horrible, but technically, doesn't it mean he hit himself?
He did hit himself.
Oh, I'd make a great lawyer in this case.
Oh, yeah. He kicked himself.
Yeah.
She might have been trying to wrestle the leg back and stop it.
And what's the third one, Sia? This is
the third bizarre crime story. Investigation is underway in Canada when nothing ever happens of this sort.
I just thought I had an idea. Mm-hmm. Imagine if we did this every week. We had three bizarre crime stories, but it was presented by Cabello and Danny Kaye. And it was called, what?
Shot.
Shot against Crom.
Shot.
Crom.
Let it all out. Stop poaching rhinos and climate change. Buy a bead bracelet and everything will be okay. Because I'm not Danny A or Danny J, but Danny fucking K.
And his friend Kabilu.
Allegedly, he's a wonderful man and a great talent and an asset to South Africa. And my opinions of him are my own and not in any way concretely or founded in any sort of misbehavior of Danny. And it's a reflection of me and my own misjudgment and bad taste of music.
Right, stop putting your caveats on everything. Okay. Go back to CNN.
Have you ever been phoned by Danny K's terrifying lawyer father-in-law about a joke you made?
Of course not.
I have.
All right, carry on.
Almost got Gundle fingered.
Carry on, Sia, as you were.
I'll give you that on court. That was good. That's hilarious. Canada, where nothing of the sort ever happens, a manhunt is underway for a serial killer who dresses up as a delivery guy, walks up to your door, and will kill you with a crossbow.
The killer.
Wow.
That is the killer.
What happened to the crossbow?
That is poetic. What made the bow so unhappy?
Oh, okay, good.
But I mean, okay, why did you crossbow someone from close range?
If it's a
delivery person and they're coming to the door, you've got crossbows are big. You'd be like, why is the delivery? I didn't order a crossbow.
Well, he hides it with the box. So I guess that's why he dresses up as a delivery man as well. So you see someone walking up to your
door. He's got a massive box. He's holding it like you would hold a pizza tray for the benefit of the listeners. He's holding it like you would hold a pizza tray, only it's taller than a pizza tray. So it's almost like as if you would present a tray of goodies to a person. But in there is his hand with a crossbow.
Right.
So it actually looks like the crossbow's in the box.
Mm-hmm. You open the door unsuspectingly, he whips away the box, and will aim a crossbow at
you. But that's an MO that's only going to work for a certain amount of time, because delivery people are going to be well checked out through the keyhole, peephole thingy in the door.
What if you look through the peephole and that's when the crossbow
bolts? Crossbows you straight through there into the eye.
I'm pretty certain someone in Hollywood is going to make this a movie.
Except that it probably wouldn't go through the door in reality. It just, dunk! What was that?
But folks, your life... is all the more better after hearing about the 70-year-old urine man.
Yes, definitely.
The leg beater.
The leg beater and crossbow killer. Yes.
All right. There are lots of people talking about that fire at Notre Dame Cathedral, including President Trump. Do you want to hear him saying something about it?
God. Love to know what he calls it.
Let's go. Let's hear what he says.
Terrible fire. You probably saw. Some of you have heard. Some of you have not because you've been here. But I will tell you the fire that they're having at the Notre Dame Cathedral is something like few people have witnessed. When we left, we had a whole group of your great representatives, and when we left the plane, it was burning at a level that you rarely see a fire burn. It's one of the great treasures of the world.
Everything with this guy is always extreme.
It's exceptional fire.
Always extreme. Everything's
the reddest and brightest fire you've ever
seen a fire burn.
We've got the most border incursions you've ever seen. This fire is hotter than regular fire. The magnificent fire.
I washed my hands this morning. The water was hotter than water has ever been.
Soapier water than you can ever have imagined in your own life.
He's just, everything is like it.
Because, I mean, it was a hell of a fire, but no, sure. You get fires like that pretty regularly. Sure, it's just not usually 800-year-old cathedral.
Of course. Anyway, so that was Donald Trump's thing that he had to say about it. And then, this is quite interesting, they were talking about it on the Today Show, and they were talking about how the next 48 hours will start the rebuilding efforts already.
That's quite quick.
It is quite quick, and they've been given a donation, a very substantial donation, not just by the Pinot family, which are one of the richest families in France. They've given something like $400 million.
Yep. Just for this specific project.
Yeah, they said we'll pay for this to be rebuilt. $400 million, that should cover the cost.
I wonder if Trump is like, and we're terribly concerned for the hunchback. Our thoughts and prayers go out to him.
But can we,
he's
can
got
we talk
nowhere
about,
to live now.
Can we talk about this Henry Pinault? He looks like Quasimodo.
Yeah,
maybe that's why he's so fond of the tower.
No, he's the one who's married to
Salma Hayek.
That's
Esmeralda.
Right.
Daniela pointed this out yesterday. These two are the modern day Esmeralda and Hunchback.
Yes, so Salma Hayek is a belter.
Go on Google, find Esmeralda Quasimodo, and then type in Salma Hayek and husband.
She has been.
Basically, it's like the two of them like got together and obviously got a lot of money.
That's
and a lot
why
of
they care.
He's
about,
not so bad looking. He's just a bit old.
That's why they care about this cathedral.
That's why they care about this cathedral so much, and that's why they're still together. Because Quasimodo got head surgery, got rid of the hump, started a French fashion house, because he's been in fucking Paris forever.
I bet Salma Hayek was always planning to marry a much older, less good-looking man, and the fact that he's a billionaire had nothing to do with it.
Of course not. But I will say that anyone who's bought a Louis Vuitton bag in the last couple of years, I'm talking to you, Somizi, you have helped to finance the rebuilding of Notre Dame. So thank you very much for your contribution.
Look at that.
Yeah, because this goes to the LMVH house, which is owned by the Pinault family.
Just another shout out to Salma Hayek for still being such
She's
a hot, belter.
Huh?
Yes,
she really
is hot. Terrifying how hot she is and has always been. Probably since coming of age to this day until she's 99, she'll be a belter.
Mm. Look, and here's a picture of her and her husband as a child.
The actual Quasimodo and Esmeralda. All right, here's the latest on the Notre Dame Cathedral, right?
10 minutes from there. And her boyfriend is French and they were watching. And she said it's like there's this pall over the city. And like you said, there's this roller coaster. What's the latest, Craig, as far as the stability of the building?
So there was a briefing about an hour ago, Al. A couple points on that. First of all, there's also some concern that the water that was used yesterday to douse those flames, there is some concern that the water may have damaged some of the stone inside irreparably. But in terms of the structure, again, I'm going to step out because I think I can probably show you.
No, and he can't, by the way. He has no idea what he's talking about.
The scaffolding there. That scorched scaffolding there in the center, that is where, of course, that 300-foot spire, that's where it was yesterday. This time, it is, of course, no more. So when that came down, it damaged the roof irreparably. So the roof is all but destroyed. Those two towers are intact. The main structure is intact. The concern right now, we're told, is more on the right side of the building. The right side of what you're looking at would be the left side if you were looking at the front of the cathedral. But since we're at the back, the right side is where those buildings have been evacuated because there is some concern that there could be, if not falling debris, maybe a partial collapse as well. You know, keep in mind, when this building was constructed back in 1100, 1200s, they didn't use joints. So these stones were essentially stacked on top
bongs.
Of each other. So.
He's got a scratchy voice. I don't know if I can listen to him very much.
So basically, it's mostly the roof and the spire. There's the rest of it's made of stone. The fire didn't get inside, so it's mostly fine.
So all of those stones were quarried a couple of kilometers away and were brought by barge and by ox cart.
And by peasant.
And by, well, plenty of peasant labor. And then they were built. It was all stone and wood and things that have lasted for 700 or more years.
But there's been lots of... I mean, I read a meme on the internet, so it may be completely unverified, but it was somebody that had posted a thing saying, look, there are some tragic losses here, but large parts of the roof that burned were restored or rebuilt like 200 years ago, so it's not the oldest parts of the cathedral. The stuff inside, which is the oldest and most valuable, and all of the artworks and whatnot are still fine, and they were in the middle of restoring the spire anyway, so it would have been, you know, not in its entirely original state.
Now you're going to have to restore it properly.
Yeah, so but the understanding, the gist that I got from that was that if parts have to get damaged, the ones that did are probably the ones you want.
All right. Does anyone care about politics enough?
No!
Leave it alone. I mean, honestly, I don't mind.
What have the dickheads done today? Bullet point, dickhead.
Well, Ace Magashule said that the DA is an Mlungu party.
That's not racist.
No, well, not if it comes from Ace Magashule.
If they're going to talk shit, can they not have new shit? That's all I ask. I know it's a very low bar. Just something different.
You mean... What are you sick of? ANC versus DA? Are you sick of the race stuff? What is it?
Well, yeah, I mean, obviously the race stuff is very tiresome because it's all contrived a lot of the time.
Well, he was asked to apologize. He didn't want to apologize. He said he's got nothing to apologize for.
Our main hope is the black vote. And there is nothing wrong to say the DA does represent the white interest. The DA does represent the elite and the privileged. What is wrong to say that?
First of all, I don't know that there is an elite and a privileged class in South Africa anymore, because taxes are now so ridiculous. Eskom costs a fortune. We've got fuel levies, another one coming up next month. I don't think there are elites anymore. There's a middle class and there's a working class, and then there's an unemployed class.
There's some proper rich people, and then
there's the ANC cronies. They're the elite because they've created it for themselves.
Good point.
So this hypocritical prick again. Just sprouting stuff that makes
sense. Especially
this
guy, because he's such a gangster, and we know that the last couple of weeks have been very, very uncomfortable for people around him who are trying to justify the way he's behaved in the Free State as Premier. He's a real crook. This Ace Magashule is a real crook, and now he also turns out to have race issues. Surprise, surprise. Anyway.
Well, they want us to work together. According to their billboard. So.
Is that a real... I mean, I thought that had to be Photoshopped, just some piss take. They could not possibly have put a billboard
out. No, it's real.
Working together.
It was an election billboard in PE. And if you have no idea what we're talking about, it's the spelling is T-O-G-H-E-R instead of
so
together.
So they forgot eth. It's just together.
On social media with hashtag English never loved us, trending on Twitter today.
So this is the Cyril
Workers
billboard.
Attempted to cover up the glaring faux pas with a sticker. On it is written the correct spelling of together. High winds hampered their work, but they vowed to come back to finish the job. The ANC says it was human error on the part of one of its service providers, and it will not derail the party's campaign.
Now, you just imagine that tenderpreneur.
Yeah.
Because that's what this is.
Someone's nephew done screwed up.
Someone's nephew's got like a grade 4 matric. Yeah. Sorry, no matric pass. You know, like a... Maybe they just went to nursery school and they got given the tender to do the billboards for the ANC and PE.
But can I ask a better question other than just general human incompetence, which is becoming a norm?
Okay.
Why are they putting billboards up?
Like, that's the best way to spend the tax money.
Yeah, but God, it should. This whole free and fair elections bullshit, right? How is it that these guys are allowed to spend so much money? Because a billboard's not cheap. I mean, that is big money.
Yeah. And it's not their own money. It's
exactly,
tax money.
Exactly. So when you see these these street pole ads, which should be the extent of what these guys should be allowed, and they've got 73 in every single thing. Then they've got billboards that they couldn't even spell properly. Like that, there's got to be like a tag to say, right, you guys have R1 million to market yourself in this election, and that's it.
Or there's this much public advertising space that exists,
yes,
that's been legally assigned. You've got legal and illegal ads. There are this many legal ad spaces,
exactly.
And by process of random, you pick, one gets picked, one gets picked, one gets picked. You each have an equal amount as registered parties. I don't know, there's so many registered parties. It'd be a complicated system, but it should just be like...
But there should be a system.
A certain amount is allocated, and that's it. I remember during an election sometime in the last 10 years where I drove through Bloom, and the biggest building in Bloom was building wrapped as ANC. It was in ANC colors from top to bottom, an actual skyscraper.
Yeah, I remember.
And the one
that.
Side of it was Jacob Zuma's face, and the other side was the ANC logo, and the rest was the yellow, green, and black. And I'm like, I work in advertising, and what it costs to wrap a building like that, to wrap any building, but especially such a big one, such a prominent one, I mean, millions. For that period. If you if you MTN or you Coca-Cola and you want to wrap the biggest building in Bloom, it's millions per month.
So you think like that millions, the ANC, as we all know, they don't make money. They just either steal it or they con it out of people. So how is it? I mean, it's ridiculous. So the money's coming from taxpaying at some stage.
I saw a fleet of sports cars the other day, all wrapped in ANC colors and their slogans and there's actually an interesting question and discussion to be had around this, because it was Jeremy Maggs who brought it up, speaking of the influencers who are now paid to endorse parties.
Exactly. This can't be an ethical thing. Like, I'm all for free speech, free media, free press.
Well, I know
kind of stuff.
Nina Hasty has been doing this. Nina Hasty's been campaigning hard for the ANC. Now, I know that, you know, maybe comedy's not paying the way that it used to, but there's something about earning an honest living that kind of makes you more acceptable societally than if you are doing the devil's work by standing as an influencer for a political party. I really don't believe that that's a good thing. And I'd love to get her in here and talk to her, but Nina's avoiding. She's avoiding media because she knows these questions are going to come.
It's not out of character. I mean, let's be honest.
You tell her, stop avoiding media.
but where do you draw that ethical line?
Is it media? So when I worked in magazines, when magazines still were a thing, you had to place in a prominent and visible part of the layout when it was a paid advertorial or paid editorial content. Like, we'd write an article about in FHM about how like Gillette's new razor blades are the difference, have made the difference for Jacques Cullis, and like you would write it like an article, but it had to say their advertorial on the layout somewhere, right, where people could see it. And you weren't allowed to, what we called gutter it. So you weren't allowed to make it tiny and invisible in the gutter of the page.
Right, so basically then it should say on Nina Hasty's tweets and on all of her
paid
social
endorsement
media, it should be like watermarked, this woman is owned by the ANC.
But they have to, though. Like, I see a lot of influencers in the fitness stuff that I follow, in other words, Belt is doing gym, where they're endorsing tooth whitening stuff, and it says there, like, paid endorsement.
Right.
Like,
well,
but
you kind of have to, yeah.
But that's the thing.
On Instagram now, that's what it has to go. Like, you tag it, and the post is presented.
But are
way.
They doing that, these influencers endorsing the ANC? Because
there are always loopholes around it.
It's the ANC, so obviously it's been done terribly.
You were saying, you know, like making an honest living and that kind of thing. There's also a way to go about it. You need to pay the bills. Theo Von and Brendan Schaub have a super funny podcast, The King and the Sting, and Theo Von's own podcast this past weekend. There's ads in it for products, but it's so funny. He's like, right, now I have to do an ad. And it's so funny the way that he like talks about these products, and it's obviously an ad, and he puts this awkward face on where he's like, you need these hats, they're the best hats, and it's like, acknowledge it, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
openly
be honest.
Wear it.
Right, exactly. So here's someone who's got a comment for you, Gord. Gord, you are a 5 out of 10, but based on your eloquence and your joke telling ability, you're a solid 8.
Jeez, ooh, thank you.
Us women aren't as shallow as men. That's probably why Selma Hayek is married to Quasimodo.
I'm just glad to have been a 5 when purely basing me on my looks. I'm normally batting around 3.5, depending on.
Yeah, that's very generous of her.
That's very good.
Right, then morning, guys.
Thank you. I'm a 5. That's a pass in varsity.
Morning, guys. Thanks for making my Wednesdays. It's really nice when Gord pitches. I seriously love the show. Still, wherever I go, I punt Cliff Central with an air of smugness. Except for your Thursday show. That's shit. Have a great day, guys. Clint from the Val. All right.
Clint from the Val. I follow him on Instagram. He's a fun guy.
Okay. Yeah, he makes cool stuff.
Very good.
But just going back to Nina and these ANC people, right?
Yes.
Fucking idiots. So basically, they're doing something very capitalistic, right? They want money. They're prepared to earn money by doing something, capitalism. Mm-hmm. But they're supporting a party who is basically wanting to usher in socialism.
Yeah. Because it's called cognitive dissonance.
It's just
where your principles, your integrity separates out from what you, what your survival.
Sound the horn. You failed in life.
Yeah,
like, you've actually just failed in life. You imagine that.
Sound the horn.
You imagine that, like in school, it's demoralizing when you go into a test and you fail. You go, ah, should have failed. Imagine that happened to your life. Your life.
Well, it's the same as these like young millennial snowflakes.
Your life.
The young millennial snowflakes, like that, have no understanding of socialism or capitalism or how anything works. They still want the world to be more fair, okay? And then they're like that cost them a third of their income, or that their daddy bought them. They use that to social media their outfits that are like so vacuous and pretentious, and then complain that, like, I do all the social media for like 6 brands at my job, and my boss is such a dick, and I'm not even earning 1/4 of what he's earning, not even a fifth. And it's like, wow, you are so materialistic and so vacuous and so pretentious, and using such expensive technology to bemoan the system that puts you in this position of privilege. Please call the crossbow delivery man and order something.
All right. Well, speaking of this, Gary Vaynerchuk, who's hilarious. I spoke about college in America and how expensive it is the other day, and he's got a similar point of view. Take a listen to this quickly.
Someone's on college.
Viper.
They disagree with you a little bit.
Good. I love being disagreed with.
College is more than just books and classes. For me, I received 2 educations in one. As a kid from New Hampshire, I learned a lot about Southern culture from attending the university.
Cool, you don't have to pay fucking $90,000 fucking a year on debt to learn Southern culture. Go work at fucking Chick-fil-A in fucking Birmingham. Fucking ridiculous. This whole fucking argument about college being about more, refros, college being more things than fucking just education. You're paying for the fucking bullshit education, guys. If you want to learn about Southern culture and not pay $63,000 a fucking year and collect debt, you can just go to fucking Little Rock, Arkansas and hang the fuck out. If we're really at a place where college is getting credit for its location, this dude fucking justified college. Paying $40,000 to $80,000 a year, maybe collecting debt on where the fucking college is located. Are we really at that place? Do you need more college scandal as rich fuckers buy their kids way in because they're so fucking insecure? They want their kid to go to Harvard to look good at the country club? Are we really keeping up the institution of college in 2019? Fuck you.
It's Gary
Vaynerchuk. I find his voice jarring, but I do enjoy his content a great deal.
Yeah, he's hilarious.
I've read one of his audiobooks, and it was like, I'm enjoying this and it's so entertaining, but it's like being sanded with sound.
Sanded with sound.
Wow. Yeah, that's probably about the closest I've ever heard to an accurate description, metaphorically.
But what he's saying is brilliant.
No, it's brilliant. Look, the point is that if you are spending your life fixating on getting into college and getting a degree, and you think that'll be the solution to all your problems, you are wrong. It's going to be the beginning of your problems in many respects, because you're going to have so much debt by the end of it.
The qualification is important in the current economic structure where some doors are not open unless you have the certificate.
The qualification is important if you're studying chartered accounting, if you're studying engineering, if you're studying science.
I'm going to this point. I'm saying most of the knowledge that you can practically apply, you can get from the internet, whatever.
The example he gave of Southern culture. If you're studying anything in the humanities and it's costing you that much money, you really should just look at whether you couldn't maybe just take an interest in it online and read about it on Wikipedia and not get the degree because it's not a useful degree.
If I'm ever looking at employing somebody or working with somebody in the creative industries, I look at their portfolio and I look at their experience and I don't even read their education. I don't care where they went to high school.
Me too.
If I'm giving someone who has never had a job, like I'm getting a baby who's looking for their first job, mm-hmm. I want you to be out of advertising college or whatever. Or come and say, I don't have never had a job, but I have been making cool looking shit with computers since I was 11. And here's my portfolio of the rad shit that I've designed all through my 20-year life. Can I have a job? And I'll be like, that's great. Yes, you can.
Right. Well, there we go. But I think Vaynerchuk's point is well made.
Yeah, agreed.
That some of this stuff is just totally a waste of time, especially if you're going to study like some element of human culture or art. Or you don't need to study the history of art through university.
And you'll be saving yourself money.
Unless you're going to become the curator of the Guggenheim one day.
Even then, you can... Guggenheim, you can Googleheim what's in the Guggenheim and get that information elsewhere.
You're just waiting to use that.
It came to me in immediately from the inspiration place.
So, right. You know, this weekend's Easter, right?
Yes, of course.
So, you're going to be unto the
in nomine Patris, Filius, Spiritus Sancti.
Praise
rabbit.
The holy chicken, praise the holy rabbit.
Mm-hmm. No, guys, cut to the chase. Where you buy your hot cross buns? That's the most important thing.
Chilled out buns.
Hot cross buns. Okay. Now they range depending on where you go. Obviously, there's quality levels, but just in case you're wondering, because there's a price hike on the fuel it's coming soon, if you go to Checkers, you get the cheapest hot cross bun.
Oh, really?
There's been a study about this, Gareth. £14.99 is a very competitive price for 6 hot cross buns.
It's not bad.
Wow, I had some last week.
That's just
not
over
bad
2 rand a bun.
Exactly. Pick and pay, £17.99.
Oh. Yeah, over the 2 rand mark.
Spa gets into the upper stratospheres of £21.99 and Woolworths £24.99, but you have to pay more at Woolworths. A full 10 rand more. Decimal
but those
raisins
approved. Are from the Israeli raisin pans where they've been artificially irrigated with desalinated water, which gives them a salty crispness that no other raisins have. Then they are hand-dried. By a virgin child in the Philippines.
That could be good. So what we have here
is... shake it until it's hot.
So hot cross buns is an issue of perhaps quality. I'll tell you what. The standard is a Lindt Gold 100-gram bunny.
Ooh.
Okay? So therefore, we've got the same product on our hands here. What do the prices now come into it?
Okay, so what you're basically saying is that a Lindt bunny is a Lindt bunny wherever you buy it.
Exactly, exactly. So
we're
now,
talking now about...
Earlier, people might say, well, I pay 10 rand more for my Woolworths hot cross bun over my check is because I'm getting a quality product. But now this is where the price differences
come
into play.
Well, I pay that because I'm getting an air-conditioned outlet where I'm allowed to wear shoes inside. But yes, I'm with you. Pay
okay,
more.
So the Lindt Gold bunny, Spa comes in. At the most thrifty, £44.99.
Mm-hmm.
Just came £49.95. Woolworths, £54.99. So again, 10
ripping
rand more.
Ripping you off.
10 rand more. Now, Checkers, who were very affordable in the hot cross buns, have come out firing with margin on the Lindt Gold Bunny. £59.99. And pick and pay?
That's how they're subsidizing the hot cross buns.
There we go.
They're taking the Lindt Bunny margin and they... That's a good idea, though, because it's a luxury Christmas Easter item versus an Easter necessity.
Yeah, and if you think you're a smart shopper going to Pick and Pay this Easter, £64.99 for the 100-gram Lint Bunny.
That's unbelievable.
20 rand, pregnant Lint Bunny.
20 rand more than Spargo.
It's about to give birth to 24 little Lint Bunnies the moment you take it home.
So that's something to ponder when you're going around there. You can save $20.
Well, I'm so glad you brought this up this morning, Ben, because... Since Isabel Jones died, no one really is giving hot cross buns the attention that they deserve.
Thank you to Business Insider for putting that post out originally for me to then read and sound intelligent.
For me, though, to go from the Pick and Pay, get in my car, drive to the Checkers, mm-hmm. get out and spend another half an hour doing that process and then drive back the extra distance is worth 20 rand.
You rich, privileged asshole.
Not rich. I just look at the price of petrol and think to
asshole.
Myself
you,
that the billable
here,
time
no,
and the
here.
Price of petrol, the 20 rand is not made up for by the time
outrageous.
And effort expenditure.
Let's say you were going to the dry cleaners, Gord, and then there just happened to be a Pick and Pay next door.
Yes,
you would
Gord.
Turn your nose up at it, wouldn't you, Gord, you privileged asshole?
I might do, actually. But yeah.
When last did you go into a Pick and Pay or a Spa
like,
or a
I
Checkers?
Think,
God forbid, a Checkers.
I think literally yesterday.
Oh.
Yeah, they have better vegetables at Pick n Pay than at Woolworths. They have in stock what I need usually, so.
Do they have better vegetables?
Yeah, because like you, I go to Woolworths. And there's like some deity of shopping that hates me. So like I don't think I've ever in my life, as soon as my list of things I need reaches 5 items or more, it is certain, by fuck you, Gordimus will come in, will get involved and make sure that at least one of those items, probably the most important one, like so, say for example, you're making a chicken korma. And you need 9 things. They'll have all of them, except including a specific kind of saffron, but no chicken. So I will have to go to a second shop. And then sometimes I get so irritated by that when it's something that should be in stock. Like, how do you guys not have bread or rice today? I will then leave everything and go to another shop, which will have the thing I didn't get, but something else will be missing. So I find myself needing to – I'm dieting. What, I'm,
who's the deity called the deity?
Fuck you, Gordimus. I'm like really quite serious with this diet and stuff. I'm 16 kilos down. I'm prepping my meals really seriously. I need to be able to go like twice a week and buy a shitload of veggies. Buy too much for too many days, they go bad and go soggy.
Yes, absolutely.
But I prep food for like 2 or 3 days at a time. And so I'm buying large quantities of veggies. And there's a range of veggies that I like. And I know this is getting boring, but I'll conclude. The point is like for me not to be able to find broccoli seriously fucks my diet up.
Yeah.
And I like peppers, I like, you know, and so Pick n Pay has got a higher likelihood of having all or most of the vegetables I need. I find Woolworths often is out of something and very seldom has all of the 6 or 7 main veggies I'm eating. And then I kind of pick and choose whatever else is there that looks interesting. It drives me mad.
I'm Isabel Jones. You thought I was dead, but I've actually been replaced by Gord Laws and
reincarnated as an obese, hairy man with tattoos. And let me tell you, you can save 2 rond 95. You and Decimal Dan can save 2 rond 95. And remember, spend your sterling first. It's 2.5 quartnets for a quarter tiki, and 9 tikis makes a centimin, and a centimin can be changed for 3 shillings, which all equals 24 cents.
Very, very good. Everybody have an excellent day in the company of cliffcentral.com. We're going to finish up with the un-news. But before that, for your pleasure and edification, here is Decimal Dan, the Ron Cent man.
God damn.
Decimal Dan, the Ron Cent man, gives you cents for pennies whenever he can. 1 cent for a penny and 2 for 2.
And 2.5 for a ticky.
And notes and silver are worth the same.
Remember, it's just
a change in their name.
Decimal Dan, the Ron Cent man, gives you cents for pennies whenever he can. 3 cents for 4 pennies, 4 for 5.
And 5 cents are worth a sixpence.
Get fucked with the 5 pence.
Remember, it's just a change in their name.
That's right.
But it's implied by this that Decimal Dan can't always give you rods and cents. It's like he gives you rods and cents whenever he can.
Whenever
sometimes
he can.
He can't. Yeah. And then fuck you. You'll have to keep your sterling. It has to do. And like, it's also like 1 cent for 1 cent and 2 for 2 and 5 cents for a sixpence too. It's like, why am I being penalized for having a sixpence? Decimal right, Dan is a bit of a cock.
Oh, I don't know about
take
you, but
your
I've,
money
I've,
from
I've
the
had
shop.
A, I've had a very fun morning. All right, the ANC are trying to defend their position over the election campaign billboard that was put up with a massive typo. ANC election gogo Fikile Mbalula says the election is about engaging with the voter base, and spelling things incorrectly gets people interacting with the party. No other party's doing this, which proves ANC is best.
That's how they get us to interact, by being shit.
Yeah. More and more money is coming forth to help rebuild Notre Dame, but not from England. Theresa May says they're still hoping to Brexit. So why bother rebuilding some old church that they aren't really connected to?
That's Notre Dame. And I'll show you, Redame.
That, and also because they don't actually like the French, because they're English. And finally, Ronaldo's dreams of taking Juventus to Champions League glory are over. They lost to Ajax last night, and with that, all he now has to look forward to is his good looks, his money, his tan, his worldwide fame, his many houses, his many cars, and all the women who still want consensual sex with him. Which is
poor guy.
Poor guy, indeed. All right, we'll see you tomorrow. Have an excellent day.
It's been real, dudes. Thank you.
Thank you.
This is CliffCentral.com.